Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Your host, James J., here at 904 behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good day out there. We've got good stuff coming up for you this hour. We've got some good stories of the day and plenty more coming up as we get you ready for Morning Magazine and plenty more throughout the day today. We'll touch on that a little bit later. Right now, diving right into some entertainment news. And James Gunn is addressing the, quote, disrespectful outcry from fans over changes in the DC universe. Superhero fans, Melissa. They are always going to have an issue. You will never be able to please every one of them. You could put them in charge. You could make them CEO of DC, and they would still have issues. It's just the way it is. After the Guardians of the Galaxy director became a co-CEO of DC Studios with Peter Safran, it was announced a new Superman movie is in the works that will not star Henry Cavill. And Wonder Woman 3 has been put on hold. Some on social media then began speculating that Wonder Woman star Gal Gadot had been booted from the franchise. When one user asked Gunn about the shakeup, he replied on Twitter, "I'm not sure where you're getting that. We booted Gal." Gunn did not offer any further information about what that might mean for Gadot's possible future with the DC. He pushed back on the uproar. "One of the things Peter and I were aware of when we took the jobs as heads of DC was a certain minority of people online that could be, well, uproarious and unkind, to say the least." That is the one. That is a credible way to word that, you know, jerks. Gunn wrote in a Twitter thread on Monday, "No one loves to be harassed or called names, but to be frank, we've been through significantly worse. Disrespectful outcry will never, ever affect our actions." Gunn said the choices for the DC universe will be based upon what we believe is the best for the story. "Perhaps these choices are great, perhaps not, but they are made with the sincere hearts and integrity and always with the story in mind." I never want to begrudge fans of having an opinion and fans expressing that opinion. The only reason any of us are getting paid to do these things is because we have fans that want to see these things.
Right.
It seems ridiculous to you know, yell at the fans or get mad at them for being what they are, fans. Mm-hmm. I would ask, what I do push back on, though, is James Gunn hasn't even done anything yet as CEO of DC. they haven't even created, there's no new movies out, they haven't even, you know, there's nothing even in the works, really. There's just ideas and thoughts, nothing concrete. Yes, they are moving on from Henry Cavill as Superman. He was pretty much going to leave anyway. It took The Rock talking him back into it to do the job. Henry has been moving on from a number of things, as we've touched on in the show before. He's left the Witcher franchise. Mm-hmm. And he did that, they let him out of his contract to do that. So he was doing this already. I feel that this was more of a mutual understanding between them. Now, he did come out recently and said that he was going to come back as the character because The Rock asked him to come back in the movie Black Adam, which the most recent DC movie to come out. Now, The Rock has also had conversation with James Gunn, and that's kind of our next story. After speculation that DC wouldn't proceed with a second film, star and producer Dwayne The Rock Johnson took to Twitter yesterday to update fans, saying that he had met with DC Studios' new leadership, and while he didn't close the door on Black Adam returning in some form, Johnson said the character was not in DC's plans for the immediate future. It's not surprising. That movie did okay, but it didn't do nearly what they were expecting it to do. None of the DC movies have.
Well, I mean, then that shouldn't be a surprise, I guess.
It's a different day, and what they have been doing hasn't been working for over, I would say, over a decade. So they're kind of starting over, you can't really start over when you've got actors from past movies playing these characters. It's kind of hard to do that.
Yeah.
Marvel has kind of found a way around these things and done it artistically where it is incorporated in the storyline. They can't just up and do it. There's a number of things that they've got to do at DC to make this work, and none of them are impossible. None of them are difficult, and James Gunn and Peter Safran are really good at doing these things. And what I'm talking about is what Marvel did. Marvel came out with Iron Man, and that was it. They came out with Iron Man, and they had a plan. They had a plan that they're going to, no matter what the box office numbers are, as long as we can make these movies, we're going to tell a story, and we're going to let the audiences get to know these characters. We're going to see, we're going to show you Iron Man at his lowest. We're going to show you him actually coming out in front of the world and saying, "I am Iron Man." We're going to do all those steps so that when you lose him in Endgame, spoiler alert, your heart pulls. You watched him for 20 movies. You've been watching him for over 10 years play this character. It's built. It's been created. They built a home in your heart through these characters. DC, just let us in your heart. Let us in there. Care about in. Us. Sorry, what did you say, Mel?
Said we're coming in.
Yeah, we're coming in. I think that if you're a DC fan, you've got to have hope that they're going to make maybe fix some of these things. Now, if you were already a DC fan and you liked everything they were doing, of course you're going to be upset. That's understandable, mm-hmm. and you're entitled to that. Everybody is entitled to those things. But I would say, even if you are in that realm, give it a breath here. Give them a chance to do something before you even kind of nix what they're doing.
Well, because if they just put a big-name person in a role, that doesn't fix all of the rest of the issues.
Yeah.
They got to have more than just The Rock.
Chris Evans wasn't the biggest star in the world at the time that he took up Captain America. It put him on that level. Mm-hmm. He was a good enough actor to where he made those characters. This is the biggest thing that Marvel did outside of letting their characters breathe, is casting not just big names, but people they felt could really play these characters empathetically.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man in the comics, to me, was always an egomaniac. Robert Downey Jr., yeah, he played him that way a little bit. He also played him with a heart. And you ended up caring about Tony Stark and everything. I didn't care about him in the comics. I cared about him in the movies because of how well he was played.
That makes a difference.
The Oak Ridge Boys are in the news. It's kind of funny. We were just talking about
that. We talked about them yesterday. Yeah,
that's kind of funny. The Oak Ridge Boys are celebrating their 40th anniversary of Thank God for Kids, which they first released in November of 1982. It was originally written and recorded by Eddie Raven in 1976. The Oak Ridge Boys are currently singing Thank God for Kids in their Christmas in Tennessee dinner show.
Nice.
Which they are still performing.
Yeah, and they're still going on tour, too.
That's awesome. That is so darn cool. Good on them. More power to you, boys. That is pretty cool.
And that is one impressive beard.
The beards in that band only rivaled by ZZ Top, maybe. Yeah. Do they have to go by Oak Ridge Men now? They've been doing this a while. Do they have to go? No, it's always the Oak Ridge Boys.
Of course.
Are you familiar with the band Sugarland?
Yes.
Okay, I am not. I'm not as familiar with them. I did a little homework last night looking into them, and Jennifer Nettles, who is, I believe, the lead singer for them.
Yes.
I will say that they've got some nice harmonies. And the song Down in Mississippi, I like that. That was a good one. But I don't want to pretend like I know them that well. But we may get to know them because Jennifer Nettles from Sugarland is hosting a reality dating show for farmers.
Really?
It's called Farmer Wants a Wife. Lay it all out there. Just going to tell you exactly what the show is about right there. It'll premiere March 8th on Fox. It's actually a reboot of an old show that ran in 2008 on CW. A single farmer meets a bunch of city girls and decides which one to marry.
Oh, man. Well, it'll be entertaining for some. This actually is funny because the first song of theirs that I know is Settling. It's called Settling. I'm not settling for just getting by. I've had enough so-so for the rest of my life.
Okay.
So it kind of plays into what, this TV show is.
Yeah, yeah.
Tired of shooting too low. Raise the bar high.
That is pretty good. That is really good, actually. All right. That is pretty cool. I wanted to wrap up on this. And Melissa, I believe you touched on this in your news. Governor Evers Tourism announces Wisconsin's $8.7 billion outdoor recreation industry sees record year.
I sent this story to you.
You sent it to me.
I didn't report on it.
I didn't know if you got a chance to report on it or not. I apologize. This is pretty cool, though. This is pretty big.
Yeah, that's a lot of money coming into our state.
Governor Evers, together with the Wisconsin Department of Tourism Secretary Designee Annie Sayers and the Wisconsin Office of Outdoor Recreation Director Mary Monroe Brown, announced the other day that the annual data from the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis shows Wisconsin's outdoor recreation industry contributed a record-setting $8.7 billion to the state's gross domestic product.
Nice.
In 2021. $8.7 billion. That's a B, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Additionally, Wisconsin's outdoor economy grew by 14.1%, more than three times faster than the state's overall economy, which grew by 4.6%.
That's awesome.
Key findings of the report show Wisconsin's outdoor recreation industry supported nearly 90,000 jobs across various sectors in 2021. With a growth rate of 9.7% compared to 2.4% for all jobs manufacturing jobs accounted for. That was 2.4% for all jobs. Manufacturing jobs accounted for 10% of all outdoor recreation jobs in each of the last 2 years.
Mm.
That ranked Wisconsin fourth in the country.
Wow.
Despite supply chain issues during the pandemic, manufacturing jobs continued to grow from 19 to 2021, increasing by 11%.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
The data also show travel and tourism, as well as local trips, account for nearly $2.8 billion of outdoor recreation contributions to Wisconsin's GDP.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, Wisconsin was one of only seven states to see an increase in economic impact from local outdoor recreation-related trips. In 2021, the economic impact of local trips grew even more, increasingly by 7.2% to $771 million.
Nice.
I mean, we here in the state know how popular and how great all this stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
The secret is out. Because a lot of this is coming from, tourism. A lot of people coming to the state, not just local Wisconsinites traveling the state.
Right, and that's outside dollars from outside of our state pouring in, and that can only help boost our economy.
Yeah, it's what makes this this country roll. Yes, the way that your locals contribute to the state's economy, but every state's lifeblood is tourism.
Yes.
There's no state that isn't asking you to come visit it.
Correct. Yes, they all want you to come visit.
quote, as St. Croix Rod has experienced tremendous growth over the past 3 years, recruiting and retaining staff in a small rural area has been challenging. We've been shifting their effort to seeking individuals who want to live an outdoor lifestyle and who can represent their brand authentically, said Scott Forstall, CEO of Park Falls-based St. Croix Rod. One of the businesses that were kind of featured in this article. Now, that's another thing that has really impacted the economy here is bringing in people from outside of state to work these jobs. I think there's a pushback right away. Well, Wisconsinites should get those jobs. They were offered those jobs. They did not want those jobs.
Yeah. When you don't have applicants, you got to start looking afar.
Business is no different than Mother Nature or the animal kingdom. It's going to find a way. Businesses don't just dry up. They fight tooth and nail before that happens. And part of that is, okay, I don't have anybody in my zip code. I'm going to go a city over. Or I'm going to go a town over. Or nobody there either. Well, I'm going to go to the next state. And I'll bring in some other outsiders there. If people don't want the jobs, they're going to find somebody to fill those jobs.
They are.
In Wisconsin, fishing was one of the categories that grew in 2020 and again in 2021, according to the new data. The top categories within outdoor recreation's contributions to Wisconsin GDP were multi-use apparel and accessories, $961 million on that.
Mm-hmm.
Motorcycle and ATV brought in $882 million, number one nationally, by the way.
Well, and that's just going to keep climbing because of all of these regulations that have been changed across the state, allowing ATVs and UTVs to drive on a lot of our county roads.
Mm-hmm. Boating and fishing, $602 million on that. And bicycling even brought in $451 million, which was number two nationally.
Well, our Elroy Sparta bike trail, that's an awesome stretch of trail to travel on by bike. It's beautiful.
Nationally, the outdoor recreation economy accounted for 1.9% and $454 billion of the GDP and grew 18.9% compared to 5.9% for the overall U.S. economy. Mm-hmm. So we did better by average than the rest of the country.
Nice.
The top three categories were boating and fishing, RV traveling, and hunting, shooting, and trapping.
On Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. For the national report and state-level data and tablets, tables, you can visit Outdoor Recreation Satellite Account in that section in the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis. That's at bea.gov/data. So that's bea.gov/data.
Yeah, if you want to see it all broken down.
And a big shout out to our head of news, Melissa Kay, for sending that over to me. I'm really glad you did that, Mel.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I had seen bits and pieces of that story, but I had not seen the entire article until you sent it over. Appreciate that.
Not a problem.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. And of course, as the previous story told you, Melissa, head of our news, and a couple of stories that she sent over to us recently we're going to go over. And I wanted to touch on this one right away this morning, Melissa, but just getting into it now. There is a shortage of vets to treat farm animals. And this is a story coming to us from Wisconsin Public Radio. Big shout out to Scott Newman for the reporting.
Yeah.
This is an issue here in really just around the country, but certainly hits home here in Wisconsin. The need for this is increasing by the day too. That's something else to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of livestock and animals in our state.
Yeah, some counties.
We're the dairy state.
Right on. Some counties have no vets to treat farm animals. Quote, we are losing animals because we just have no one to come to the farm in time to save them, said Senator Cindy Hyde Smith, a representative out of Mississippi. In December 6th hearing of the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry, we have counties in Mississippi that don't even have a large animal veterinarian.
Wow.
The shortage is mirrored by a growth in the number of veterinarians that Americans are much more familiar with, those who take care of family pets.
Mm-hmm.
Since at least the early 2000s, more veterinarians have chosen the better pay and more reasonable work hours that go with a practice that focuses on primarily or exclusively on companion animals.
Right. Small animals.
With COVID-19 pandemic driven spike in pet ownership, demand and salaries for companion animal veterinarians have increased rapidly, according to the American Veterinary Medical Association. The implications of this shortfall go beyond the farm. Some farmers and AVMA warn that without enough vets on the front line, the food supply chain is vulnerable to disease such as foot and mouth and swine flu.
Mm-hmm.
This is bigger than just wanting to take care of our farm animals.
Right. We need to also take care of our food supply.
It turns out farmers put food in our table.
Yeah.
And these animals help them do that.
Yes, indeed.
So you hear this, you hear me mention that this was brought up in a December 6th hearing. This is where we kind of pull a call on our people that we vote in the office to represent our needs, and this is a need.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the magic answer to this question or how to fix something like this. That's their job to do that. That's why I don't run for office. That's why I don't. Mm-hmm. But I will say one of the first things that comes to mind is incentives.
Yes. And schooling. Availability for schooling. Let's talk for a second about the fact that they're shutting down an extension campus in Richland Center.
Mm-hmm.
They're removing the opportunity for schooling in rural communities instead of in enhancing it and making it more accessible and easier to and recruiting students to go to these schools. A lot of students don't even know what is available around them when they're graduating from high school. We need more effort by our politicians, by our district representatives to help shore up some of these areas in our state.
Yeah, I would like to see a lot more time focused on the jobs we need and just going out there and saying, we need more jobs. The economy sucks. Like, okay, quit telling me how the government's overspending and tell me how you're going to fix it.
Yeah, don't tell me you want to... Go ahead, James.
I was just going to say governments have been overspending as long as we've had governments. The national debt just keeps going up. Quit asking me to worry about the national debt and these things when we've got bigger fish to fry. I'll worry about that when we got time to worry about that. We got bigger things on our plate right now. This isn't even nearly the biggest thing on our plate, and it's huge. It's huge. Yeah. It takes up a huge part of our plate, and this isn't even the beginning of the big things that we got on our plate. We got blood shortages going on right now. Blood donation groups are asking Wisconsinites to find the time to donate. We have healthcare, child care. I can keep going. You know, there's a million things on these plates of ours.
Yeah, we have a shortage of emergency personnel funding for our rural communities and communities across Wisconsin because there's not enough shared revenue coming in from the state government to help shore up some of these. They're going to start charging for emergency responses in Marshfield this next year because they can't afford to pay their people.
They keep wanting to, or I shouldn't say they, but certain groups of people seem to want to tie their sports to their political party and treat it like it's their political party is like the sports team that they root for. Well, there's this thing in sports where my main quarterback, my quarterback goes down, best player on my team goes down, but I can't use it as an excuse. Injuries are an excuse. I can't talk excuses. Well, same thing here, everybody. I don't want to hear excuses. I don't want to hear from our representatives, well, we couldn't get this bill passed because they have this. You know, the other side is
we
in charge of...
We can't play well with each other.
We just can't do it, everybody. Sorry. It's the other side's fault. I'm tired of pointing the finger. I am so dang tired of this. I don't care if it's true. I'm done with it. Make something happen. If you can't get it done, let's get somebody in there that can. That can yes. work with the other side. Let's get back to the idea of talking about ranked choice voting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that some more.
I am encouraged by some of these people that are coming into office saying, you know, what my predecessor was doing. And these are, you know, parties that have switched chairs.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying my predecessor was doing a good job. You know, let's keep moving forward with this and see how we can even make it better and work together. People that are saying that, I find so encouraging that they're looking for ways to work together because that's what we need.
Yeah, I'm just so darn tired of these politicians that you can tell they just want the job to get their name out there. They don't know. They don't know the three branches of government. They don't know how a bill is passed. All they do is go out there and bark about the other side. Or that's it. Or how they're a true American and how they did this and everything. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely not what we need.
No, it doesn't. All it does is push people away, create mm-hmm. divisiveness, and get none of this stuff done. Again, getting back to the stuff on our plate.
Yeah, let's get some work done to make it better in our state. Let's shore up education. They have been systematically defunding education in this state for over 50 years. We need to have good schools for our students to go to. We need to have community colleges, apprenticeship programs. We need all of this to produce things like veterinarians, to shore up our job market, to keep these farmers going. Farmers shouldn't have to be their own vets.
Yeah, well said. We just recently saw a couple of months back about some national reports around the rest of the world where America ranks in education and certain things. And I hear all these politicians barking about it and how we're behind China on this and we're behind on this and everything. But yet nobody's putting the money into education.
Correct.
Like, it makes no sense. Meanwhile, and I'm not saying this as I have an issue with our defense budget, but we have they literally put the defense budget overnight through a 400 some page document that they just expected all these politicians to sign without reading because that's just business, how business is done in Washington now, mm-hmm. or it has been forever. When it comes to the defense budget, we don't need to look at that. We'll just go ahead and let it pass through. And I don't have an issue with that, especially if you're putting money into veterans. What I have an issue with is you don't have that same feeling towards education. It makes no sense. Again, going back to an earlier conversation, Melissa, about the further we get away from childhood, the less we seem to care about kids.
Kids are our future, and if we don't educate them properly, how do we expect them to carry on with the business of society?
You got too many people in charge and too many people voting. All they care about is today and tomorrow, and that's it. They only care about themselves or that. They don't. They're not looking at this whole future thing that you and I are talking about here. And that's something that isn't gonna. There's no shelf life for something like that. The modern times and the future are going to run you over if that is your mindset. Mm-hmm. There's no shelf life to that.
It's coming. Time doesn't stop. Mm-mm. It just keeps going.
I did want to mention really quickly, Hope Carowin had a great article in Wisconsin Public Radio about blood donation. As I mentioned, blood donation groups are asking Wisconsinites to find time to donate during the holidays. If you are able to, we greatly encourage you to do that.
Yes, please do. You can save many lives with one donation.
Hang on a second. I got to get off my soapbox real quick. I don't want to. I end up twisting an ankle the last time I was up there.
It's dangerous.
We will take a quick commercial break and get to Melissa's nose and have some fun when we come back from that here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Christmas spirit live and well around here.
Oh, yeah. Jiving.
That is definitely Michael McDonald.
He must have heard us talking yesterday.
Yes, yes,
I mean
definitely.
Seth, not Michael.
I knew Michael McDonald had a Christmas album. I didn't know how I knew, but I knew he had a Christmas album.
You just knew it in your soul.
He's got multiples. He's got like a couple of them and everything. He's got a perfect Christmas voice. He really does. He's got a perfect voice for it. All right. For this next segment, everybody's got to put on their mature hat.
No. All right,
find your mature hat. Happen. Find it, Mel.
I don't have one. I burned mine.
Melissa?
No.
I'm telling you.
You can't make me. Nuh-uh.
Fine. This is what happens when your co-host lives out of town. This I can't reach her. I can't. Okay. Well, try to be mature on this next one, everybody.
All right.
And I will, too, because I don't know how I'm going to. Last month, we heard that scientists have designed a urinal that drastically reduces splashing. But there are other cases that could benefit from an increase in splashing. The Westminster neighborhood in London has been struggling with people relieving themselves on city streets. And they are fighting back. Big time.
Okay. I don't blame them.
They're painting walls and other surfaces with a special kind of paint, which actually causes a stream to splash back on the person when they go number one. The idea is to deter public urination by basically,
right back at you.
Fall back. Yes, yes.
Hilarious.
They've also added posters with QR codes to help people find the nearest public restroom.
That's smart.
And to remind them that public urination is illegal. They're adding more public toilets as well, and there will be a focus on finding people who are caught. I never was more thankful to not have an issue in my city. as far as I know, this is not an issue in our local cities here and everything. I will say we could have used this back in Chicago, back in one of the high rises I lived in. Actually, it wasn't even in Chicago. It was in Addison, I think, the high rise we lived in. It was bad around there.
Well, and I think in bigger cities like that, it's harder to find a public restroom.
Yeah.
Especially in London, I know for a fact, because if you're not even businesses that you're a customer of, they oftentimes do not allow you to use their toilet.
Yeah.
Or, sorry, their water closet.
Is that a water closet? I've never heard that before.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's what it's called.
That's an actual term.
Yes.
Wow, I've never heard that before. That's, I don't want to go to a water closet.
Oh, well, the reason for that is because, at least to my understanding, my limited understanding of reading books about the era, they used to have chamber pots in bedrooms.
Yeah.
But once they actually had indoor plumbing, then it was called a water closet because it had water in it as opposed to just a pot.
Can we just take a time out for a second and just appreciate plumbing? Do we do that? I don't know.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, yeah. Where's National Plumbing Day?
I don't know if we can say his last name on air.
Yeah, right. where's our love for plumbing? Like, we really don't take enough time in our day to day lives to just appreciate plumbing. We have gotten
plumbing
way too comfortable.
Plumbers, yes.
Yeah.
No, it's important. It's necessary. I find that the pushback to public urination with having it splash back on them,
yeah,
fitting. You know who this is happening to.
Yes. Men.
yeah. I mean, women are not as likely.
Yes.
I wouldn't say never, because I have at least one aunt who takes great pride in her ability to do this. Mm. But most women don't.
No.
Although this is maybe a good time to talk about the Shiwi, which is an awesome invention.
I've never heard of this. I've never heard of it.
Well, I believe, at least more recently, it has come into popularity for hiking for women.
Oh.
Or if you're on a sailboat, or, you know, anywhere that you really don't want to have to squat to use an outdoor facility.
Gotcha.
It is a device that is just basically a plastic funnel, as it were, with a tube that comes out of it, and
yeah,
you can just unzip like a man would. Mm-hmm. And be able to go without having to squat or remove your pants.
Melissa, incredible work right there. That was some monumental, incredible work right there to do that as perfectly as you could.
You told me to put on my mature hat.
And you did a great job there. It's a lot better than Googling Shiwi device. Don't do that. just don't do it, everybody. Don't make the mistake I just did. Don't.
if you need a company to actually Google, Freshit.
Mm. Ah, there you go.
That is the best one that I, through, you know, reading customer reviews and whatnot, to go with was the company Freshit. IT.
Your city's really got to have quite the issue with that to go to this, all the extremes that they did for that. Good on them for doing it. But, I mean, man, that ain't right. That's a story as far as the people that are doing this, not the actions they're
taking. There is nothing worse than walking down the street and just smelling hot urine.
Yes, yes.
Unfortunately, I got to experience this on my own property because my ex-husband didn't believe, I don't know, he preferred to pee in front of the garage.
That's messed up.
Or in my flower beds. And I can't tell you how disgusting that is.
Yeah, that's...
Because on a hot summer day, it's not okay.
I'm sorry, that guy was lucky you stuck around for 5 minutes. I'm sorry. that's a deal breaker right there. That is messed up. That's wrong. That is just wrong. Just because we can go anywhere we want doesn't mean we do, guys. Like that. Yeah. That doesn't.
Doesn't mean you should.
No. We will take a quick break. We got to come back with one of our That Ain't Right stories from over the year. This one happened back in September. We'll get into that. We also got some great, good stories we want to touch on, including some local ones involving our Wisconsin Humane Society. Touching on all of this when we come back here on The Morning Show on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 9:49 on the clock, taking you right to the top of the hour to wrap up another show for another day. Hope you guys had a great Wednesday out there, everybody. Your Wednesday's treating you good so far, and a good start to your Wednesday.
Yeah, off to a good start.
We've had a lot of fun around here. We got to grab a new trivia winner with our Quality Foods New Year's basket giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be
Dave. Great job.
Yeah, nice job, Dave. We'll be doing that every day up until the 29th, so be listening for that. Got to hang out with Phil from Quality Plus Printing and catch up with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Yeah, in Kutraman.
That was a good one.
Yes.
A lot of fun throughout the morning today. And we leads us up to some That Ain't Right story, and to a That Ain't Right story, and some good stories of the day. And this one is a doozy, Melissa. This one came out back in September 29th, and we were never able to do the story. So some of these I hang on to for the end of the year for us to kind of like look at and just make fun of, basically. Usually, you get a free ride in the backseat of a police cruiser after you're arrested for DUI, not before.
Okay.
Earlier in September, a friendly officer in Michigan gave an intoxicated man a ride home from an Oktoberfest event.
Okay.
Pretty nice of him to do. Pretty smooth. Got a warning. That was about it. And, you know, let the guy home. That's a break right there. You get a break like that in life, you take it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You appreciate it. Well, this guy didn't. The guy didn't stay home. Just 90 minutes later, he was arrested for allegedly driving while intoxicated.
Dude.
It's unclear.
You just had a free pass.
Just got a get out of jail free card, man. What are you doing?
Way to look a gift horse in the mouth.
A different cop saw a vehicle moving slowly, and they pulled the driver over when the vehicle attempted a turn, but drove up on a curb.
Oof.
Police conducted field sobriety tests and a breathalyzer test, and the man was arrested. They arrested the man for a DUI.
Aww.
I want to know those two officers if they you know were able to talk afterwards, like, hey, did you just arrest that guy?
I tried.
Yeah.
Took him home. Did my duty. Beyond my duty.
I'm afraid that we may have to explain to some people out there, you don't get a punch card when you know, you're arrested. It's not like you get arrested 10 times and the 11th's free. Like, that's not how this works. It's not a smart process to be handling your life by. But might want to take a look in the mirror, man.
Yeah, if you've been drinking, don't drive.
Yeah, it's one of the dumbest things you can do. And I know we're not supposed to say dumb or stupid or anything like that. Well, why do we have those words if not for people who drink and drive?
Yeah.
This next article comes to us from WBA.com. That's WBA.com. And it is a great article, you guys. I encourage you to check this out. Wisconsin Humane Society takes in 32 dogs, puppies rescued from breeders. The Wisconsin Humane Society is looking for donations, fosters, and adopters after taking in 32 dogs and puppies rescued from large-scale commercial breeders in the southern U.S. The dogs were surrendered to the National Mill Dog Rescue Organization, Wisconsin Humane Society. Volunteers drove to Missouri to pick up the dogs, which are now at shelters in Green Bay and Milwaukee. They're being checked for medical and behavioral issues, but some could be available for adoption as soon as this week.
Nice.
Each one will be spayed and neutered, given initial vaccines, and microchipped. Some may need more medical or behavioral attention before they can be adopted, and that's where foster families and donations will be helpful.
Yeah.
This is something that my ex and I, we did. There was a dog. There was a kill shelter in Texas, and there was this. We were looking for a dog, and she was on a national site and happened to see this beautiful dog, Chloe, who was a blue tick healer. And Chloe,
those are cool dogs.
So good dogs. Chloe was abused horribly. And spent her whole life in basically a barn house that had a metal floor or something. And all of her food, she had no dish. Her food was just thrown on the floor. There were so many little things that we did to help her. And I would say within 6 months to a year, it was a completely different dog. Like, you would not even recognize the people that might have known the dog beforehand would not even recognize her. Also, one of the sweetest creatures I've ever been around in my life. Period. Not human, animal, whatever you want to say. Could not have been a sweeter animal. These animals, yes, many of them, I shouldn't say many of them, some of them do have behavioral issues that can be worked through because they want to work through it.
Yeah, time and patience and steadfastness. They need routine and someone that loves them.
They are great animals, and I know that this time of year people, you know, like to give animals for presents and things. I would first off pause on that and make sure the person you're giving the animal to is going to be able to take care of that animal.
Right.
But if that
There's
is
a lot to consider.
If you got a green light, go ahead and maybe reach out to wihumane.org. That's the Wisconsin Humane Society's website, wihumane.org. Or you can go to wihumane.org/adopt. But either way, that will take you there. That's also a great place to go if you are interested in making donations. Mm-hmm. They are greatly appreciated. And certainly, always keep in mind our local humane societies, our Southwood County Humane Society, our Portage Humane Society. Incredible people over there doing incredible work.
And even if they don't have the dog here in the county that you're looking for or the right fit for your family or you personally, they can put you in touch with reputable other places to find the right animal for you. There are a number of scams this time of year, especially with puppies. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of, you know, this type of these puppy mills, this stems from this. And people are taking advantage of this time of the year when they're looking for an animal. So go through a reputable site, check with your humane society, do it safely because these animals need a home. My dad just actually took in a dog that had lived most of her life in a cage, and she's a 4-year-old little puppy, and she's cute, and she's starting to come out of her little shell and get along with the other dogs in his household, and I get pictures every now and then of them playing together. So It's a beautiful thing when the match is right.
Mm-hmm. An 11-year-old Shida Inu named Gordon just won Pedigree's cutest rescue dog contest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he got hit by a car in Taiwan years ago and uses a wheelchair now, but he's still happy as ever. A couple in Alabama took him in.
Cute.
And in more dog news, this is kind of like that friend who moved to LA to be an actor and failed, but it's good because they found their real calling.
Oh.
A breeder in Washington State paid $10,000 for a purebred lab named Duke and hoped he'd be a good show dog someday. But she entered him in some competitions, and every time a judge touched him, he'd just roll over and want them to rub his belly. It's my kind of dog. It's a good dog.
Yeah.
So he couldn't hack it as a show dog and flamed out. But it turns out he's much better at something else anyway. He now works at the Oregon Department of Humane Services as a comfort dog for kids.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say therapy dog. Nice.
And loves and gets lots of belly rubs.
Oh, I bet. Loves every minute of it.
Yeah, I would say that money was well spent, yes.
Yes.
A couple in the UK both recently turned 100 and also celebrated their 75th anniversary.
Oh, my.
They say the secret to their success is having one small fight every day. They also still drink. Their words, everybody.
Cute.
If you get towards the end of the day and you're about to go to sleep and everything, you haven't had that small fight, do you have to like throw one in real quick? You know, you're stealing the covers. Okay, there, we had our fight. Wait.
I want three tines on the fork. I want four.
A Colorado woman just became a police officer, and the officer who pinned her badge on is the same cop who saved her 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
He found her in a meth den as a baby. She eventually got adopted by a couple who gave her a much better life.
Wow. Wow. What a story.
I love stories like this so dang much, and they never get old to me. And part of what I love about them is if I, as a writer, went to a Hollywood executive and I gave them that story, they would laugh me out of the room. Nobody's ever going to believe that. That's too far-fetched. That's not going to happen. And then it happens. You know?
Yeah.
This
is real life.
It's pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
It goes a lot farther. I think our actions go a lot farther than we'll ever realize. And more times than, and every once in a while, we're fortunate to find out how far they actually do go.
Yeah.
But more times than not, you go through life never knowing how much you can impact another life.
You put that good out into the world, and you never know what'll happen.
You get what you put in.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to do it for our show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, everybody. We had a great time with you. We hope you had a good time as well. We'll be back at this tomorrow. We'll have the James Gang together, as Seth calls them. We'll have Melissa and Seth in. That's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Mel, you stay warm and stay safe over there in Abbotsford. Yes.
You too, James.
We'll talk soon. Take care.
Have a good day.
You too. We'll come back with Morning Magazine right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.